Okay, we're on the air. Good morning, Mayflower. It is so good to see all of you on a very unusual day. If you look around, you can see what's unusual. Most of our congregation's on vacation. Most of you are visitors. So we got a big job here today. But it's always wonderful to have visitors. We do often, but usually not this many. So I'm looking around here, I see just, oh man, it would take us 15 minutes. But I've had a chance to meet some of you, and I guess the biggest surprise here today is Tom and Wendy Van Tassel. My goodness sakes, they pastor, co-pastor in Spencer, Iowa at the Congregational Church, and you know, because I just get around, I know Tom and Wendy very well. At least Tom may be a little better than Wendy. And then Lisa Bolton Hunt, who you probably know, those of you that have been here, will be preaching. Let's see, is that would be 2 weeks from today. And her husband, Rob, they're with us today. And Ross brought, a whole wonderful looking group of relatives. I met them, niece, great niece, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, is that correct? Sister, all right. Wow, we got the blood relatives going here. Ross, thanks for bringing them, and thanks for responding to the invitation. And Ruth Berry, you brought some relatives with you, and Ruth Berry's celebrating a birthday. It's somewhere up there. Well, it's a kind of a major birthday, and if you want to be back, I think it's next week, and we encourage you to do so. Ruth Berry will be doing some special music. But I think the flowers, because of your birthday, right, Ruth? Oh, my goodness. Happy birthday. We'll have a chance to sing when we're in the back. And let's see who else. I'm not finished yet. We have some visitors here that I'm not...
From the neighborhood.
Those are the best kind of visitors of all. From the neighborhood. We love our neighborhood and trying to figure out new and better ways to reach out to them. So thanks for reaching out to us. And keeping going here, another special visitor. Here's the way I'm going to introduce this fine-looking gentleman there with his lovely wife. He is my brother-in-law, who is no longer my brother-in-law, who will always be my brother-in-law. So if you can figure that one out... Tom is also, because I don't have any brothers, he has always been a brother to me for the last, goodness sakes, over 40 years, Tom. And what a special thing it is to have Tom and Susan. They came last night. If you saw a motorhome, yeah, they'll be living here for a week. Just kidding, Tom. I think you have enough gas in your tank to make it along. So wonderful to see everyone here today. And by the way, if you're always here, we love to see you too. Trust me on that, folks. Can't do without you. All right. Here's a sad note, but a happy note. Today is the last day we'll have our gifted, wonderful, beautiful Sue Jen, who will be going to take a full-time job as a phenomenal accompanist at Interlochen. And if I say Interlochen, most of you know where that is and how significant. So take a good listen today, folks, because, she says that the new person that's coming to be our accompanist is better than she is, but you know we just can't believe that. We can't believe that, but Sue Jen, thank you for all the time. We did celebrate last week, so by the way, if you're watching on Facebook, we welcome you. Also, I don't think the Whitewater Rafters down there in West Virginia celebrating Jerry Fuller's birthday are watching, but nonetheless, hello to you folks out there having a good time on this Sunday morning. Now, a little instruction as we move to the back in the social hall following the service, and we encourage everyone, especially when there are so many visitors here today, we want to get to know you. Our congregation wants to get to know you a little better. We won't embarrass you, or at least we won't purpose to embarrass you. But come on back. We'll sing a birthday song to Ruth. And there is some instruction, though. Take a seat before you eat. We did the same thing last week because, well, you'll just see when we get back there. So, finally, Marilyn Danielson, Reverend Dr. Marilyn Danielson, has an installation service. I'm not guessing that there may be any or if one or two, but I will be participating in that service today, giving the message for Marilyn, who is a friend to this congregation, a longtime pastor, 20 years at Portland Congregational Church, one of our sister churches nearby. So that's what I'll be doing later on this afternoon. There is a vicinage council also to begin at 3 o'clock, and then the service starts at 4. So if you want to sneak over there to Lake Odessa Congregational Church, I'm sure they would appreciate your support. In the next 2 weeks, we are going to have special speakers, and I'm going on vacation, and I'm going to enjoy every minute of it, folks. But I will miss you. Trust me, I will miss being here. But I will be at the Stonington, Connecticut Congregational Church next Sunday morning with my friend Norm Erlinson. And then the next day, we're going out to Block Island. Anybody ever been to Block Island? Oh, nobody's been there. Well, I like to go places where I've never been and where you've never been. And I'll come back and tell you all about it. But the most special thing for me is that I will spend 2 weeks with my two sons, my only two sons, camping, fishing, and hiking at 4,400 feet just north of the Smoky Mountains with a 360-degree view, living on top of my Honda Element with a couple of pup tents for the boys. How about that? We're just styling. Well, last thing, if you haven't got your lug nut tickets, today is the day you can pick them up. We're going to see the lug nuts together as a congregation. Always a fun time. Folks, it's good to see you, but it's good to know that God was here before we ever got here. Let us now worship.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. We gather as people of faith into the house of worship.
Yes, we are people of faith because we believe.
What do you believe?
The question is not so much what, but who do we believe?
Then I will ask the question, who do you believe?
We believe
in Jesus, the Christ, God's messenger, who came to us as a man and who is the head of our church. Amen.
Those that can, please stand. Thank you.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Gracious God and loving Lord, we thank you for your guiding presence in our lives and in our worship. We want knowledge, truth, and certainty, but help us to realize that faith is often a mystery. We believe, but help our unbelief, and help us then to embrace the mystery of our faith, including things not visible and hope not yet realized. We pray this through Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Please be seated.
We will find our first reading on page 9 in the Old Testament of the Pew Bible. It is found in Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look towards heaven and count the stars. If you are able to count them, then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as a righteousness. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. On page 175 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible, you will find today's second reading. It is found in Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3, and also verses 8 through 16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received the power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren. Because he considered him faithful, who had promised, therefore from one person, and this one as good as dead descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, indeed, as he has prepared a city for them. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
Oh, I missed a couple here this morning. Martha, you have a friend that's come with you, so make sure if you have an opportunity later to reach out to yet another. And of course, our special music today is Bill Bishop, a brother to Mary Robinson, and beautiful. Last week we had the Beatles, today we have Rodgers and Hammerstein. How about that? Gail, you gotta like that. If you weren't here last week, there were two Beatles songs sung, at least by members of the Beatles. One was by John Lennon, and the other was the Beatles song, Let It Be. So you can ask some questions about that. We're a little more traditional today, nonetheless. Giving is a way of life, and it's kind of way we roll here at Mayflower. Every pastor that has served this church has remarked, at least the ones that I'm aware of, this is the givingest, and that's really not a word, but I'll use it, church they've ever been a part of. So folks, keep up the good work. And for visitors, you'd think on a Sunday we had a lot of visitors that we just kind of say, could we get a fuller offering? But we do actually the opposite. We wouldn't want to prevent anybody from giving as unto the Lord today. But as a visitor, this service is our gift to you. The ushers can come forward.
Thank you.
Sue Jen does a lot of things better than anyone else, but I love the old gospel tunes. That was one of them, and I've never heard it done as well. We're going to stand to sing the doxology. If you need the hymnal, it's number 563. Would you stand, please, those that can? Please be seated.
Thank you.
Sure. You want to do it after the prayer or not right now, Mary? That's okay. Let me tell you something. I get confused a lot more than you do, Mary. And that really is not a confusion. So yes, of course you can say something. Here's the way we do our pastoral prayer here at Mayflower. I'm going to pray as the pastor. That will represent all of our prayers as a congregation and as a peoples. We will pause together just briefly, but as long as we need for you to mention a first name of somebody out loud that you would like to just lift up to God in prayer. We'll take all the time necessary for that. Followed by that, we'll pray together the Lord's Prayer using the words debts and debtors. Let's pray. Lord, here we are again on Sunday, our day of worship, and we've gathered with those that we love and new folks too. So bring a fresh new spirit of love and grace as we share together in this unique time each Sunday to come together and worship in the safe place we call Mayflower Sanctuary. Now, Lord, because we pray for some of the same things and some of the same people, knowing that sometimes our prayers do not seem to be heard or perhaps answered, we come back again because we believe in prayer. We know that in faith we cannot see things invisible as God sees. So, Lord, give us the eyes of faith to see beyond our prayers, knowing also that we need to be faithful. So, Lord, as we pray for our country, we pray again for the glimmer of hope that might be a bipartisan something to bring peace and tranquility to neighborhoods and shopping centers that we so desperately need. And, Lord, if we think that can't happen, help us not to let cynicism take over, for we are a people of faith and hope. And it's that faith that gives us the hope, even for things not yet realized. And so put within us, Lord, that spirit of hope. Take out of us a spirit of cynicism, because we believe. And because we believe, we offer our prayers boldly. And with those prayers come care and love and compassion to those that we lift up just now.
Austin, Betty, Noah, Xander,
Lord, there are a lot of people, a lot of families, neighbors that are represented in our prayers. So once again, Lord, we pray boldly in faith. And even now we are believing that you are answering prayer. But Lord, in our desire to be faithful, help us to add the care and love and compassion and support, doing something to put boots on the ground and a little action, perhaps a lot, to the prayers we offer this morning for our country, for the world, and then more locally, our state, our community, and our family of faith. So thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for faithfully teaching us even as how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Some of you will remember Glenn Lewis. And his wife is Ruth Lewis, who comes here as often as she can. And Ruth, I was so happy to see you come in when you did. Today, Glenn loved to sing. And today, and I used to sing a few songs I sang with Glenn here in this church. And today we're going to be singing a song with my brother Bill, who's from Virginia Beach and is here for a brief time. And he and I are going to be singing a song that I sang with Glenn probably 20, 25 years ago. Maybe you can tell I have a problem. I may have a problem singing. I'm having a problem speaking. But I'm going to try to do the best I can. Probably won't be my best. Anyway, I want to sing this song in honor of Ruth Lewis and in memory of her lovely husband, Glenn.
When you're lost and alone,
On page 57 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible, you will find today's gospel reading. It is found in Luke 12, verses 32 through 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Thanks be to God.
We have some gifted preachers here today, and it's not in this pulpit. Some people sitting out here I've heard preach before, and I've heard give testimony. And Tom, I just want to tell you, your testimony at the NA meeting down in Cleveland meant a lot to me. Tom, some of you may know that Tom had a very serious heart situation and testified to God's gracious healing and God's wonderful people who offered their support and prayer. Tom, that meant a lot to me. Wendy, I've heard your presentation in out in the symposium in Iowa. This congregation lovingly and supportively sent me there, and I've gotten in on a lot of that. Lisa Bolton Hunt gave a presentation as the American side of her passionate work for the International Congregational Fellowship. We got a lot of things coming up with that. Rob, it's great to meet you today. We also, Ross, you got some preachers in your family, right? One or two here. All right. So, I'm shaking in my boots here today, folks. I'll have that opportunity twice because there will be a number of robed ministers over at Marilyn Danielson's installation today. You just pray for me, and I'm going to pray right now. Lord, it doesn't matter who's in the pulpit. We need your help. We need prayer. We need your spirit. Give us a good dose of it today and always. In Christ's name, amen. This sounds like a redundant question here as a faith community gathered on a Sunday morning, the typical time we, in our tradition, worship. 10:30 on Sunday mornings, do you believe? Well, the lectionary readings of Scripture that I hope you listen to today compel us to re-examine and scrutinize what it means to believe. So we had Abraham in the promise that was given that didn't seem possible at all. And then the book of Hebrews, and that wonderful faith chapter, the 11th chapter, gives us some explanation of what it means to have faith, even when our faith and our belief doesn't seem to be realized. And then in a somewhat different perspective, embedded in the gospel story today is an expectation of the return of Christ that didn't happen in the timeline that those who thought it would. So all three of these passages have to do with our belief and our faith. In this simple narrative, we learn that belief is rooted in questions and doubt. Faith and belief are rooted in questions and doubt. That's the narrative we have here. Present circumstances or past circumstances can cause us to question our belief and our faith. God had made a promise to Abraham concerning his descendants, how many of them there would be. And for good reason, Abraham questioned God based on present circumstances relating to a promise unfulfilled and very likely to remain unfulfilled. And although God speaks to him and offers reassurance, Abraham receives no concrete evidence that God's promise will come to pass. And yet we are told he believed. This concept is reinforced by the scripture in Hebrews, when we are told that faith and belief, and I'm using those two interchangeably this morning, is internal assurance, not external evidence. Then the gospel reading puts faith and belief into another context, that of disappointment. How so? We know that each of the four gospels were written several decades after the recorded events. There is the mistaken idea that we think people went around and wrote down everything that Jesus said and they just passed it along and somebody wrote it down and we have the gospels. Quite a bit different from that. But by the time the gospels were in written form and were circulated, there were some terrible things that happened to the community of Israel and their beloved city, Jerusalem. If you're familiar with history, you know that in 66 AD through about 70 AD, the Romans came in and sacked the city, and it lay in ruins. And it's this context with Luke talks about the second coming, the return of Christ. But because Jesus has said it would happen soon, their idea of what soon meant came to disappointment. And after a terrible, catastrophic event, when their city was sacked, you can understand that it would have seemed better for them if Christ would have simply fulfilled his promise and come back and take him out of it. Well, there were also difficulties and theological questions when these gospels were written about the inclusion of Gentiles into the promise God had given to Israel. The return of Christ would have solved these problems too, they thought. And that's what they believed. In the midst of conflict, it's kind of an escape hatch, isn't it? And we do a lot of things to look for the escape hatch when life doesn't go as we think it should. So, there again was the element, at the very least, of disappointment. Taken to extremes, it might mean the premature ending of a life. Many of our lives have been touched by someone, perhaps a loved one, that have ended their own life. We live in a day in which the suicide rate, especially among young people ages 15 through 24, has risen dramatically in the last 25 years or so. So, have you ever questioned your faith and belief because of unplanned circumstances, unforeseen events, unfulfilled dreams, unfortunate difficulties? Of course. We all have. I have too. One of the most recent examples in my life, and this does have a modicum of humor here, but after years of being convinced that my call to ministry was misunderstood, mistaken, and permanently interrupted, when divorce, career change, and the absence of a previous sense of mission and purpose in my life that came on a trajectory that I didn't anticipate. Then when I thought God was redirecting me after about 20 years to go back to re-answer that call, I was rejected as a candidate at a small country church about 18 miles from here, where I'd been a candidate to be their pastor. And I may as well tell you, because some of you know, it was the Vermontville Church. Vermontville Congregational Church, you didn't know that, some of you. As soon as I signed the contract to be the pastor here at Mayflower, I told the search committee and those present that I had something I wanted to confess. Now, that's kind of a bad thing to hear a pastor confessing right after he's been hired. That wouldn't be a good thing in many circumstances, but I confess that I had been turned down by another congregational church. Some of you know that story. And I do have some humor looking back at that, but I will tell you, and I will tell you honestly, for the next few months after being told they found someone else who is now their pastor and who is a friend of mine, I thought, with all due respect, if Vermontville doesn't want me, no one will want me. I went back to the drawing board, as I've had many times in my life, and subsequently my belief and faith changed and evolved like it had many times before. But it didn't go away, thankfully. I had some encouragements that came with close friends and my loving wife. And then along came Mayflower. And many of you know that story. So indulge me a little this morning as I bring you along my journey of understanding and exploring this idea of belief. Belief and faith are subjective. Knowledge is objective. But both can and do change. Our knowledge of the universe is ever-changing and growing. Just in my lifetime, discoveries concerning the universe have dramatically changed and evolved. Telescope technology has given us a window to previously unknown elements and distances into space previously unimagined, with things like black holes and distant planets now coming into closer focus with research and understanding. And there's still a search for life out there. Scientists can predict with pinpoint accuracy the arrival of comets and the distances measured in light years to other galaxies. We are fast approaching the possibility of travel to Mars, and our imagination can quickly become reality. Anybody signed up for a trip to Mars? Interesting thought. But have you ever stood out on a cloudless night in a dark sky viewing area and looked at the Milky Way? I would have been asking Bill and Rilla here, because they kind of follow those things, so we'll have to hear another time their story. But I read something, because I'm not a scientist, that just kind of blows my mind. We know that there are at least 100 billion, not stars, but galaxies in the universe. And with increasing telescope technology, scientists tell us that number may soon rise to 200 billion. It is beyond the ability of a finite mind like mine to put our thoughts around that. Galileo, who learned much from Copernicus, published his idea based on scientific observation that the solar system was heliocentric, not geocentric. Do you know the difference? Helio means sun. And because of references in the Bible, the powers that be in the church thought it was absolute truth that the universe rotated around the earth. This was immediately pronounced by the church to be heresy. Based on primitive knowledge, rigid faith, and biblical literalism, Galileo was tried and convicted by the church, but in a little act of grace, he was given a soft sentence of house arrest for the remainder of his life, which lasted another 9 years. The trial was in 633. He died in 1642, and his book was subsequently banned.
It took over 350 years for the church to admit it was wrong, and his name was not cleared of heresy until 1992, Galileo. The problem is the inclination toward making belief the same thing as what we believe to be truth. We need certainty for security in certain areas of our lives. We all admit that. We're human beings. But the very nature of belief and faith is different. To paraphrase one of my favorite scholars, the danger is that Christianity can be or has been captured by a series of creeds, doctrines, propositional statements, and dogmas, the truth of which is both self-evident and unchanging. Anyone who dares to question this conclusion or those core beliefs is questioning nothing less than God. So the question raised in the title of my sermon, Do You Believe?, is not, what do you believe? At the expense of sounding like a heretic, I want to suggest that belief is not knowledge. Although it involves a search for knowledge, it is not truth, but it certainly involves a search for truth. And it is not understanding, although we seek understanding. To add one more, and I suggest this, and Mom, if you're listening, we've had conversation about this. And I wrote my mom a manifesto because my mom had trouble getting her arms around this. But when I wrote my manifesto, my mom came to a little bit better understanding. It might not have changed her belief, but helped her understand mine. And this is what I put. Our understanding of God is not the same thing as God. The reason for me, and I emphasize for me, is simple. Even in our family of faith, each of us might have a different answer, somewhat different answer to the question, what do you believe? You shake a congregational tree, our tree, and all of a sudden, all kinds of things pop out, and people like Baptists and Quakers and Methodists and Free Methodists, Charismatics, Pentecostals, Presbyterians, Catholics, and others just represented here this morning. None of us will likely abandon some aspect of our backgrounds, training, education, and childhoods. None of us here this morning believe or think exactly in the same way. We freely exercise, and this is important in the congregational way, personal conscience in our interpretation of the gospel. We do not, indeed will not, judge each other. Now there is one caveat to all this, and I paraphrase the scholar once again. Those who see themselves as ardent defenders of the faith argue that churches with fuzzy liberal messages are dying and that churches with firm and unbending beliefs are growing. The only change to that statement is this: almost all segments of the church these days are not growing. The scholar concludes, the faith of the churches never existed. Truth, whether it be religious truth or any other kind, is always changing and evolving. And the moment it is codified, it begins to die. So where does that leave us? How are you going to end this one, Pastor Mark? Where does that leave me? The question changes from what do you believe to whom do you believe? Truth is not propositional. It is relational. Jesus makes this abundantly clear. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Future tense. It involves, in one sense, I believe, a lifelong search. There's more to the story. The great writer of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, in one of the most beautiful and compelling expositions of the gospel, ends one of the most eloquent chapters in all of Scripture by reminding us and making for me the whole idea of belief come into better and clearer focus when he says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then, future tense, face to face. Now I know only in part, but then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. And the greatest of these is love. I remember when my children were very young, two boys, 3 years apart, I was their hero. Those were the good old days, folks. I could do no wrong. Again, the good old days. They started to grow up and quickly learned, for right or wrong, that I was a fallible human being. I went from hero to zero very quickly. And it takes a long time to return to hero, and I'm not quite there yet. Maybe never, but I'm getting there. In less than 2 weeks, all three of us, as I mentioned, will be on top of a mountain for a week near this Great Smoky Mountain National Park. We'll have a 360-degree view. We will camp, fish, hike, and eat. And sorry, Deanne, boy, will we eat. Well, you know, Kyle, my youngest, is a foodie, and his whole career has been in food. We will continue the relational journey where the greatest goal is to experience and seek the love that binds us together as family. But there is a greater love. Christ is the head of our church. So, with that, will you, again, or for the first time, join me in this journey of belief and faith? Will you seek and search and question and doubt? Will you struggle and ask? Will you have an open mind and an open heart? Will you think? Will you make love your aim? Will you not judge and condemn, but lend encouragement and support? Will you risk and reach out? Will you, with me, get out of the comfort zone and explore? Will you continue the journey to our promised land? Will you refuse to return to Egypt? Will you pray? Will you share? Will you give to others, to God? Will you receive from others, from God? Of course you will. Of course I will, too, as God gives us strength. Let us receive the greatest reassurance and hope I know of. The riches of Christ are unsearchable. His love is unfathomable. His faithfulness is unimaginable. Do you believe? Thanks be to God. Please stand.
and you can come down the stairs with me. I can't do a benediction today without standing right beside this person who was here long before I got here, folks, and has been at the very highest level a blessing in every way to us, not with just her music, and it has been fantastic, but with her spirit, her grace, and her love for the Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Sujen, we will miss you, and we will be sad about that, but it is with great joy that we feel like we've had a little part in lifting you along the way. And I'll tell you what, we will be up there to hear you play and interlock, and we don't need much of an excuse, do we, folks? So as I pronounce a benediction, this will be kind of in honor of Sujen. So I'm going to read from a psalm that is a favorite of many. And this, again, is because of her. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. And I'm going to add this. When you go, thinking of Sujen, go with a singing heart, knowing that God has placed that within us and given special gifts where that motivation happens at a little greater level. So whether it's in the shower or to your neighbors or where other folks or even plinking away on the piano or the lovely song that we heard by Bill and Mary today, the Lord bless all of you. And Sujen, the Lord bless you. God bless you. So you stay with, well, let's see, you got to play the song here. So, all right, I'll let you play. Yeah, you know what? Let's just give her one more round of applause for all that she's done. Well, it's verse one here. I hope you know it. I'm not so good at this one, but let her go here. Go ahead, Sujen. Oh, yes, I know that one. Send forth by God's blessing, our true faith confessing, the people of God in his dwelling take leave. The service is ended, oh, now be extended, the fruits of our worship in all who believe. The seed of his teaching, receptive souls reaching, shall blossom in action for God and for all. His grace did invite us, his love shall unite us for God's kingdom and answer his call. Now, one last word, folks. Get my microphone. Yeah, I think it's on. Okay, here's the thing. There's one more order of worship if you haven't noticed it, but this is more for the regulars than it is for the visitors because it says, greet one another. So visitors, you don't have that responsibility to give it. You have a responsibility to receive it. So Mayflower, give it, and it shall be received. Go in peace, and we'll see you in the social hall. Mary, that was wonderful. That was just beautiful. You did an amazing job. Bless your heart.